So today we are starting a module on Vaishnava principles and Vaishnava principles and values. We were doing this last year during the Bhagavatam class once a week. It is part of the college program for students, but also for the community it is nice because we discuss topics on devotional service, which are very focused with specific purposes, to specific educational aims, you can say. I mean, of course, the Bhagavatam class has the natural specific aim to wake up our bhakti, our devotion for Krishna. But the reason why we are doing this is because it was difficult to get all the students to come to one particular class, so this is convenient. I wrote on the whiteboard the main educational aims and content of the module. Basically, there are three sections. What we want to do is to enhance the understanding and the practical application of these three aspects of devotional service. First, essential elements, essentials on the path of bhakti. Second, Vaishnava qualities. And third, principles which are supportive of the process of bhakti, such as virtuous behavior, varna and ashram principles, cultivation of knowledge, austerity, and so on. During the first term of the year, from now until December, end of December, we will focus on essential elements on the path of bhakti, and today we will start with general principles of sadhana bhakti, the practice of devotion. Last year we were requesting students to make presentations. Every other week a student will give a class. This year we will do the same. We may even increase it a little bit. It depends how things flow and what's the how much the students are taking ownership of the module. That we will see as things develop. But at least 50% of the lessons will be presentations made by students during the class. I am the tutor for this module, so I will give guidelines to the students about what to research and what to present in each case. Sometimes we may also ask other tutors to lecture on a particular topic, or visiting speakers. Sometimes we have senior speakers also, we ask them to present. And for students who miss this class, we are asking them to write a 1,000-word essay on the topic that was discussed in the class, to make up for what you miss. Some of you, those of you who are attending the second and third year of the college, you may say that, okay, but I attended last year. Why are you asking me to do it again? What could be an answer to that? What is the reason, or what may be the reason why the college authorities are asking students to participate again on the same module, that discussing the same topics that were discussed last year? Any thoughts on that? Second, third year students?
Knowledge is always revealing itself and gets deeper and deeper, so if you covered it once, then from that standpoint you can go further.
Yes, the process of bhakti actually it is not a one-time activity, but it is a continuous flow of devotional service. It is unlimited. So it is very important that we go back to the basis, and every year we can go deeper and deeper. Always we will have new perspectives presented by the tutors and by students, so we can really assimilate better the knowledge and be able to apply it properly in a better manner. Okay, so let's now focus on today's topic. You have the printouts. You can share them if there are not enough for everyone. We will start with a definition of pure devotional service, which is what we are doing. We are named Bhakti Vedanta College, so the first word is Bhakti, devotion to Krishna, love of Krishna. Love of Krishna is the constitutional position of the self. So it is the most important topic, it is the essence. It is like in life, unless we are able to breathe, there is no life, isn't it? Anyone can remain alive without breathing? Maybe some yogi, but normally, even yogis, they have to breathe. They have to measure their breathing, but they have to breathe it after some time. So we cannot remain alive without breathing. We need prana. So service to Krishna, loving Krishna, this is the prana, this is the life of the soul. And therefore Srila Prabhupada taught us the process of devotional service, and he referred many times to this verse written, we can sing it together, from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami. It is also mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's sing it. Anya bilachita shunyam anupuyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttamam. It's good, we should save time. No, I was going to sing and you repeat, but it's a good idea that you repeat it continuously. We will save time. The translation is, Srila Prabhupada's translation is as follows. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. In previous lectures, so I was not here for the last lectures, but last week we had some discussions about the superiority of bhakti over other processes such as karma and jnana. And actually Srila Rupa Goswami is explaining that pure devotional service is meant to be free from fruitive desire, karma, and from jnana. Jnana meaning cultivation of spiritual knowledge which is devoid of loving service to the Lord. So this is actually the goal. Anya bilasita shunyam, devoid of any other desire. This is kind of what is the idea. What devotee practitioners strive for? The goal is to become devoid of any other desire than service to Krishna. And yavilashita shunyam, jnana, karmadi, and avritam. And such service should be uncovered by karma and jnana. Jnana, karma, adi. Adi may mean, what could be adi? What's the meaning?
Beginning with,
okay.
And so forth,
yes. In this case, we mean etc. So what could that etc. be referring to?
Karma, Kyana?
Ashtanga.
Ashtanga Yoga also, the process of controlling the senses through an artificial method, meaning devoid of loving service. When we are situated in loving service to the Lord, we are properly situated in our constitutional position. We are serving Krishna in a natural way. The term sahaja, sometimes we talk about sahaja. The term sahaja originally, it's a good term. It means natural, becoming situated in our natural constitutional position. Later on, the term was misused by people who were pretending to be situated in their constitutional position while simultaneously performing sinful activities. Activities against even basic morality. And therefore we don't use the term so much anymore. But the point is that our natural constitutional position is to serve Krishna with love. And that process should be, what are the characteristics described in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto for pure devotional service? It is a verse very much related to Rupa Goswami's verse.
Unmotivated
and uninterrupted, very good. So that means devotional service should be selfless, that's unmotivated, without personal interest. And uninterrupted means continuous. It is eternal, there is no limit. When such service is performed to its full capacity in this way, fully satisfies the self. When we do not perform it in such a condition, we may not be fully satisfied because we have not yet reached the perfectional stage of loving service. So this brings us to the need of practice. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Prabhupada wrote Nectar of Devotion based on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Srila Rupa Goswami. So Srila Prabhupada also explains it in Nectar of Devotion. He explains, both of them explain, there are three categories or three types of bhakti. Those of you who have studied Bhakti Shastri or who know, maybe have listened about it, what are these three processes without looking at the paper? What are these three categories or three types of bhakti described by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu?
Uttama Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prabhu.
Uttama Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti. And what is the meaning of these three terms? Someone else can say. Sadhana Bhakti, what's the meaning of sadhana?
Devotional service.
Devotional service in practice, and it is actually practice with the senses. The definition, we have it here, in the middle of the first page. Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 2, practice means employing our senses in some particular type of work. Therefore, devotional service in practice means utilizing our different sensory organs in service to Krishna. Some of the senses are meant for acquiring knowledge, and some are meant for executing the conclusions of our thinking, feeling, and willing. So practice means employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service. This practice is not for developing something artificial. For example, a child learns or practices to walk. This walking is not unnatural. The walking capacity is there originally in the child, and simply by a little practice, he walks very nicely. Similarly, devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the natural instinct of every living entity. Even uncivilized men, like the aborigines, offer their respectful obeisances to something wonderful exhibited by nature's law. And they appreciate that behind some wonderful exhibition or action, there is something supreme. So, this consciousness, though lying dormant in those who are materially contaminated, is found in every living entity. And when purified, this is called Krishna consciousness. So this is the condition of the majority of us, that we are not yet situated in the natural condition of the soul, in selfless, continuous devotional service. And therefore we need to practice. Isn't it? Can you think of any other examples to illustrate the meaning of sadhana bhakti? Any examples you will give when you preach to other people? What other examples can you give? I'm sure some of you use them sometimes.
Being in the army?
Being in the army, can you elaborate?
It's very regulated, it's practiced.
Okay, so we are in the army and we we practice in a similar way, like in the army, in a regulated way. This will be compared to Vaidhi Bhakti. How do you feel, like the youth, about the about the example of the army? How do you like it? Yeah, some like it. Yes, let's be warriors. Some people like it, other people don't feel so much, like the army is too strict. But okay, that shows how an analogy can be relevant for some people and not to others. So we should take that into consideration. Any other examples? Mother Vimila.
How many do you want? How many analogies would you like?
You can give one. One each person.
Children playing that they're adults.
Okay.
Children pretending that they're firemen or that they're getting married or...
Okay, can you elaborate on that?
Yes. That, in one sense, you can say that's not real. When the little boy's going, I'm a fireman. So he's not really being a fireman. But on the other side, it's an essential part of becoming an adult. You can't skip that. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to skip childhood and immediately become an adult. So it's both, you could say it's real and it's not real.
Very good. Thank you. So, yeah, sometimes like we ask the child what you want to become when you are adult, and he says, I will want to become that. So similarly, we are now practicing. We want to become pure devotees. We are not yet there, but we engage our senses in serving Krishna so that our self, our identity, will become transformed into our natural identity. The idea is that pure devotional service is not practice, it is experienced by the self, by the pure self. And this is related to the level of Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. So we live pure bhakti, when we are pure. In the meantime, we are identified, we're identifying ourselves with our mind and senses, and therefore sadhana bhakti is described as engaging the senses in bhakti. So our present self is engaged in serving Krishna. This is our present condition. It is, we can say, actually, it is true, in one sense we will say, it is not real that we are pure devotees. You know, if we look it from the other perspective, from the other way around, what it is not real, it is our present identity. Our present childish activities, this is not the real identity. The real identity is a pure loving service to Krishna. And this is awakened through engaging the senses. And we engage the senses in so many different transcendental activities. And Srila Rupa Goswami has described 64 activities in Nectar of Devotion. You can study them in chapter 6 of Nectar of Devotion. Next week we will ask one of the students to elaborate on this particular topic, the 64 angas of bhakti and the 5 processes, powerful processes of devotional service, which today we are just looking at them as an overview. Sadhana bhakti has two divisions. Who can remember the two divisions of sadhana bhakti?
Vaidhi
and Raganuga. And what is the meaning of them?
Regulated and spontaneous.
Regulated and spontaneous. Yeah, so regulated means that we do it like in the army. We follow the discipline because we are meant to do it. Many times, I didn't go to the army, but devotees or other people who went to the army told me when they went there, in the beginning they were quite undisciplined in their behavior, but then mandos, the people who are in charge in the officers, yes, Daniel. The officers in the army, they will be very strict with them. And they will tell them, you cut your hair very short. They will come with very long hair, and then sometimes they even, of course they don't do it in a very loving way. In the temple, hopefully, in the old days, sometimes, unfortunately, it was not always done in a loving way. Hopefully, nowadays, it is done in a caring way. So the officers will tell the person to cut the hair short in order to help them to become more disciplined, to teach them how to follow an authority, in order to surrender unto Krishna. We need to take practical actions to show that surrender, such as accepting that which is favorable, rejecting the unfavorable. Accepting the favorable means, according to Srila Prabhupada, that we do things that normally we will not do, but because we want to give something to Krishna, we do it. Therefore, that's surrender. Or rejecting the unfavorable means that something that normally I will do, I stop doing it. Such as, for example, sleeping until 9 o'clock in the morning, all the way through. So, because that's unfavorable for devotional service, we reject it. And we endeavor to wake up early at a decent time to attend the temple and practice regulated devotion. So in the beginning, what the rule is to follow what the officer, the higher officer says, or what the doctor, that would be another analogy, the doctor, what the doctor tells the patient. We want to become cured from our false identity, and therefore, because we want to do that, we follow the instructions of the medical practitioner, and he tells us to follow a particular diet, do certain physical exercise, avoid stress, and different prescriptions. In this way, we become gradually cured of our illness. So that's Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. What about Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti? Any analogies? Actually, the child analogy is very good, because in Raganuga we aspire to serve Krishna as the eternal associates of Krishna during the spiritual world. They want to, like for example, we may aspire to serve Krishna as the cowherd boys doing Vrindavan, playing with Krishna, and developing, like giving, like we see in this picture, offering sweets and flowers to Krishna, and joking with Krishna, serving Krishna in a very natural, very informal way. So we want to serve Krishna in this way. Some of us may think like that. Others may want to love Krishna as Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj do in Vrindavanas, protecting Krishna, taking a very, very strong stand, serving Krishna, caring very much for him. Or Srila Prabhupada describes also in servitude as Patraka and Raktak, the personal servants of Krishna in Vrindavan, providing the different ingredients like for Krishna's service, and giving Krishna prasad, and are cleaning things so that Krishna has everything first class in Nanda Maharaja's palace, or as the gopis of Vrindavan, serving Krishna with love in separation. So in the beginning it may be somewhat imaginative. Like I remember when I was a child, I used to, sometimes we think when we are growing, like look at our body and then see, okay, the hairs on the body are developing. So we want to see, okay, I'm becoming a man. So it is not by imagination that one becomes a man or a woman, but it is by natural development. So similarly, it is not by imagining that we become an eternal associate of Krishna that we become one, but by practicing sadhana bhakti, hearing, chanting, remembering, associating with devotees, worshipping, we gradually develop our Swarup Siddhi, our constitutional position in a particular relationship, or a particular rasa in relationship to Krishna. Still, the meditation, reading Krishna book, reading Nectar of Devotion, will help us to focus on a particular way we like to serve Krishna. And this will come naturally as we practice devotional service. According to Srila Prabhupada, we don't need to make a separate endeavor for it. And this is named Raganuga Bhakti, to practice Raga, cultivation of attachment for Krishna, following in the footsteps. Anuga means follower, becoming a follower of those who have Raga, who have attachment for Krishna. And this may be the residents of Vrindavan, or maybe even liberated devotees such as Srila Prabhupada, who are living in this world and who have an eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. Let's read the definition of Paidi Sadhana Bhakti at the end of page 8. Anyone would like to read loudly? Any volunteer? Guru Padma, would you like to read? Definition of Paidi Sadhana Bhakti.
Definition of Paidi Sadhana Bhakti: when there is no attachment or no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, and one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master or in pursuance of the scriptures, such obligatory service is called Vaidhi Bhakti.
Thank you. And then, definition of Raganuga Bhakti. Anyone, any of the Matajis like to read? Susanna, you like to read? B.
The definition of the Raganuga Bhakti: devotional service in a spontaneous love is repeatedly expressed and manifest by the inheritance of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called the Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service following the way of the spontaneous love service.
Srila Prabhupada also gives another definition of Raganuga Bhakti in Nectar of Devotion, which is that it's very, very simple, very practical, that when we become attached to perform the different angas of bhakti in a spontaneous way, that's Raganuga Bhakti. He says that, for example, in the beginning, we wake up in the morning early because we have committed to do it, and the spiritual master and the devotees request us to do it. But then in due course of time, we want to wake up. Even if the temple authorities, the college authorities, or the spiritual master will not ask us to do it, we like to do it because it is very, very pleasing to serve Krishna. It is very pleasing to attend Mangal Arati, to chant japa early morning, to listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam Katha, to be in the association of devotees, live in a devotee community, to eat Krishna prasadam. Of course, for that we don't need so much. We can do it in Vaidhi Bhakti. That's the first process we do it. We come to the level of Raganuga. But the test is when we are able to develop a spontaneous attraction to all the other processes as much as we are attracted to eat Krishna prasadam. Then it means we are gradually coming to the level of Raganuga Bhakti. Any comments or questions on Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti? We have 30 minutes to complete the topic.
In the Nectar of Instruction, Text 8, purport, Prabhupada is he's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and he gives a step by step process of how to perform Raganuga.
Very good, thank you. Thank you. And also in that purpose, the Prabhupada describes how the remembrance of Krishna will increase gradually as we enter into Raganuga Bhakti. Well, in the beginning, Prabhupada writes, the remembrance of Krishna will be at intervals, and then it will become, the intervals will be shorter and shorter and shorter. And then the goal of bhakti is expressed in two dimensions or in two levels. One is bhava bhakti and the other is prema bhakti. And the difference is only in terms of intensity. Bhava bhakti is already the perfectional stage of pure loving service, selfless and continuous. And prema bhakti is the same, but incomplete, in a very condensed form. Let's read the definitions of bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. Two volunteers, one for each.
When devotional service is executed on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is like a sangre of love for Krishna. At such a time,
devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various tastes, and one is then situated in bhava, emotion.
So this is bhava bhakti, which means that the soul becomes, the heart softened means the soul touches, directly touches the rasa. In sadhana bhakti, we do not directly touch the rasa. We aspire for the rasa. In bhava bhakti, we touch the rasa. That's the main difference. And then the primary characteristic is that the devotee is situated in pure goodness, shuddha sattva visheshatma. That's the primary characteristic of bhava bhakti. There is no trace of rajogun and tamogun, passion or ignorance. And then the next characteristic is that the heart becomes very soft and touches the relationship with Krishna. You would like to read the definition of prema?
When the bhava softened the heart completely becomes endowed with the great feeling of possessiveness in relation to the Lord and becomes very much condensed and intensified, it is called prema, love of Godhead, by learned scholars.
Very good. Sometimes acharyas have described the difference between bhava and prema in terms of the sense of possessiveness. In bhava bhakti, the devotee, he has the feeling that Krishna, I am yours. And in prema bhakti, the devotee feels Krishna is mine, my Krishna, mamatva. So this is one of the differences that Vaishnavacharyas have mentioned. Also, Srila Prabhupada explains prema bhakti, nectar of devotion, referring to an explanation given by Bhishmadev, and saying that when the devotee has no other object of love than Krishna, than his worshipable lover or friend or Lord, when there is no deviation to anyone else, that's prema bhakti. It's complete focus. Okay, that's basically. And then we have at the end the five potent forms of devotional service listed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami writes, Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, are so potent that a small attachment for any one of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte. So these are the summary of all the 64 angas of bhakti. Sometimes these are described as panchanga bhakti. Bhakti is divided into five processes. And any little attachment to one of the five processes is so powerful that can elevate even an ordinary conditioned soul to the level of bhava bhakti. In very short time. So that means how important these processes are. And these processes are practiced by sadhakas and also by liberated devotees. Like we hear many descriptions of how the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were engaged in the practice of these processes. Sankhya purva kanama ganana tivi kalavana sinikrito nidrahara viharakadi vijitao chetyantadina uchayao. The Goswamis, they were continuously engaged in counting. They were counting the number of names, the number of obeisances. Sometimes they were worshipping the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or reciting Srimad Bhagavatam certain number of hours per day, like Raghunath Das Goswami. Sometimes it is described he was engaged in recitation of Bhagavatam 3 hours a day. He was offering 1,000 obeisances to Krishna, 2,000 obeisances to Vaishnavas. And he was not doing it just for the sake of counting, but he was doing it because he was in love with Krishna and the devotees. And it was completely spontaneous. We do it sometimes in a regulated manner because we are meant to do it. Because Srila Prabhupada told us to do it. But they were doing it spontaneously. So these processes are practiced both in the neophyte stage, and they will elevate us to the perfectional stage, and also in the liberated stage. And next week, we will ask one of the third-year students, they have priority to present next week. So I'm going to give the choice to any of the third-year students to volunteer here and now to make a presentation on the 64 angas of bhakti. You will have my support and give you references and to prepare a presentation. 64 angas of bhakti, focusing on the Panchanga Bhakti, the 5 processes. Everyone is looking to the other side of the room. Yes. So what does that mean? That they have more, like, more opportunity. We don't gamble. We don't. But imagine someone who gambles, play the lottery. If there are only three people who are participating in the lottery, and you have 1 million euros, you are going to win. You have many chances to get it. So who is going to get it? Okay, we give the opportunity to second year students. I'm not going to force. Third years. Nimai? Okay, Nimai agreed to do it next week. One applause for Nimai. Thank you very much. So you can prepare the presentation, can be a traditional style, you can use PowerPoint, any resources you like. It's your choice how you want to do it. Any comments or questions on what has been presented today?
I'd just like to make an additional comment about the difference between sadhana, bhava, and prema.
Yes.
So, that in sadhana bhakti until bhava, one is, like you're saying, one's still functioning with some trace of raja and tama, which means that one's meditation are still on the mental platform. And bhava, one's meditations are fully on the spiritual platform. So until bhava, when one's meditating on Krishna, one's doing it with the mind. This is especially explained by Lord Krishna. And it may be, because there's a samadhi at the end of a shakti, and then there's another samadhi in bhava. And Prabhupada distinguishes between these two. So the samadhi at the end of a shakti is still on the platform of mind. One's totally absorbed in Krishna's lila and in serving Krishna's lila in a particular saiva, but it's all happening still on the material platform, although the devotee experiences as if they're living with Krishna. But in bhava, the transcendental world actually manifests within the devotee's heart. And that's the stage where Prabhupada talks about transcendental television, where you're not imagining Krishna's pastimes, although that seemed totally absorbing at a shakti, but you're actually in Krishna's pastimes, but it's internal. Then prema, the difference between bhava and prema is described especially under Yukanandini and with the story of various devotees in the Bhagavatam, is it goes from internal to external. So in bhava, the meditation is in the heart, and prema, Krishna appears before you. And one is relating with Krishna also externally. So as one devotee put it in bhava, it's like you're in the material world, but internally you're in Goloka Vrindavan. Prema, you're in Goloka Vrindavan, but externally you're in the material world. So you're being focus changes.
Thank you very much. Very nice. Any other comments or questions?
Much one question. There are also 9 stages of devotional service, being the shraddha and ending with prayer. At what stage does the vaidhi go into Radha Yuga?
Generally speaking, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, also in Nectar of Devotion, after an artha nivritti, Radha Yuga can start. So it is from Nishtha onwards. Although sometimes it is explained that actually the spontaneous attraction can start at any time, but the real Srila Prabhupada gives the caution that we should be free from anarthas in order to properly practice Radha Yuga Bhakti. Especially because we have a very long history in our sampradaya of sahajism, or pretending to be in Radha Yuga Bhakti or even Bhava Bhakti and performing immoral activities. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes very much that we are very careful to get rid of the anarthas, at least the gross anarthas, such as meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling.
I was wondering, are there specific characteristics of persons in these stages by which one could recognize that someone is in power bhakti or prema bhakti? And especially within our movement, are the devotees that we can recognize that they have attained?
There are 9 characteristics of Bhava Bhakti described in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 17 and 18 describe Bhava Bhakti. And in one of these 2 chapters, the 9 characteristics are described. These are internal characteristics, such as detachment, eagerness to live in a holy place where Krishna performs his pastimes, always being attached to chanting the holy names of the Lord, perseverance, and so on. So these are the internal characteristics. There may be also external characteristics, but the external characteristics can be faked, like crying and trembling, or even can be a reflection from some other devotee. Whereas the internal characteristics cannot be faked for very long. Can be faked for some time, but not for very long. Like sometimes the example is given of the person who was speaking so many languages that no one knew what was his mother tongue. And then there was one fellow in the village who said, okay, we'll find out what's his mother tongue. So he went to the person who was speaking in different languages, talking, and was kind of showing him, I'm so learned. So this person went from behind and slapped him very strongly. So gave him a slap, bah! And then the person started calling him names. Was in English, so okay, he's English. His mother tongue is English. If the names were in Spanish, then okay, he's from a Spanish background. And the idea is that when we are under pressure, our real nature becomes manifest. We have, all of us have different masks we use in life. We can use masks in different ways. But when we are under pressure, the real person comes out. So the internal characteristics are the real ones we should look for when we are evaluating. If we say, okay, I want to be initiated by a Baba Bhakta, if we say, yeah, this is what I want, then okay, then look for those 9 characteristics. Okay, we'll end here and continue next week. Thank you very much.
All God is Vishnu Bhagavan.